Support for Spookfound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
Welcome back to Spoofhound Spotlight here on KXCV. Karen W., I'm your host, Jeremy Werner, and joining me as he has for every Spoofhound Spotlight so far is the Maryville R2 Superintendent, Dr. Logan Lightfoot. So September, you know, the first full month of school and, you know, just kind of diving head on in. But, you know, there's a lot of different things on the horizon, but one of the big things for the school district just got completed at the Board of Education meeting, which is selecting an engineering firm for the long-term plan. Go ahead and, you know, talk a little bit about, like, you know, the importance of not only selecting them, but what this means for the long-term plan.
Yeah, Jeremy, correct. We, which was actually kind of a neat experience, we had it in our Performing Arts Center and had all of the Northwest students who are in the College of Education come over and watch our board meeting. And a lot of them had never seen a board meeting before. And
so, really?
Yeah. Well, it was fun.
I don't think I'd seen a board meeting when I was in school, so I hope they enjoyed it.
They did. The question and answer session afterwards, it was a lot of fun just to kind of walk through. I mean, it kind of took me back to when I was 19, 20 years old going through and getting my teaching degree. And a lot, I think it was eye-opening for them, but it was also very valuable for us, for me for sure, to kind of just gain perspective and see kind of what, I mean, not to sound too corny or cliche, but our, you know, the future was kind of sitting in that pack, you know, last night. And there's a lot of, I think we've got a lot of talented young people going to the teaching profession, which is really, I don't know, optimistic and really good to see for sure. But anyway, back to the meeting. We selected an architecture firm, and we actually had a kind of, our process for that is we put out what was called an RFQ, which was a request for qualifications. So basically, what we did, this was about a month ago, and we just put out kind of a packet that just said, okay, we're Maryville R2 School District. Here's our district. Here's kind of where we are. Here's what our facilities kind of look like. We would like to make a long-range facility plan. And here's the type of firm we would like to have work and partner with us. And so we put that out, and then any architecture firm in the state of Missouri was welcome to submit a response to that and just basically kind of provide us with information why they might be a good fit for us. And so we had a chance. We had a nice district committee. Myself and a couple of district leaders and school board members sat down and reviewed the applications. We ended up interviewing three different firms, and from that unanimous decision, we actually went with a firm out of Kansas City, and Insight Design is the name of that firm, and they've actually worked with our district before. If you've ever been in our school district and you've been in our Performing Arts Center or you've been in the FEMA gym, they were the firm that actually helped us design that. So. A little bit of a comfort level there, and we are very excited about having them on board with us, and we think they're going to do some great things.
And so, you know, moving forward, is this a contract to where, you know, you're in constant contact with them, or you're on a contact basis where you can just, you know, before we have a meeting or, yeah, you'll pass along some information, like, what's the relationship like moving forward?
No, great question. So really kind of what our relationship's going to look like for about the next 6 to 8 months, their primary role and responsibility for us is to really engage, bring everybody to the table, so to speak. And one of the things that was really attractive about this firm in particular is they've got a dedicated person that really does this kind of work. And so he's going to come in over the next couple of months and really engage our patrons, engage our community members, our parents, our students, our teaching staff, and really take a look at all of our needs, all of our facilities, where we're really strong and solid and where we might need some improvements on. You know, get a lot of feedback and then kind of take that expert angle. Obviously, they're architects. This is what they do. And so kind of really put together a plan, and we'll kind of phase that plan out a little bit, what really needs to have attention right now, you know, what can kind of weigh those kinds of things, and maybe start putting together kind of a rough cost and those kinds of things. And our goal is to have this plan kind of developed by about, I'd say probably about April or May, and then take that to our Board of Education for approval.
So will there be any kind of public input sessions or anything when, you know, you mentioned a community, is he going to be observing, or is he going to be interacting, or I shouldn't say he, but you know, the entity, are they going to be interacting with the community to get their input?
They will. And it is, Aaron is going to be the name of the person that's going to work with us through IDS. And we are going to have a lot of community input. And what I really like about IDS, it is not just, you know, I've been part of these kinds of meetings before, and you go into a gym and you pass the microphone around and everybody kind of gives their 2 cents and you leave and you don't really know if you've really solved anything. That's not their approach. And so their approach, really, they're going to do some really kind of some small group work, some really smaller, you know, focus group kinds of things, really kind of get some of those trends on what we really do need, and then work with teachers. And so, you know, Insight, they're experts in architecture, but we're the experts in education, right? And so we're going to kind of provide some of our input, what we need. So as a great example would be like Eugene Field, our elementary school. In terms of a building, it was built very, very solid. It's still built very, you know, it's still standing in, you know, high quality construction, but Eugene Field was built in 1927. And so when you take a walk through our building, you know, what are some things we can do to really maximize our learning spaces at Eugene Field? And so those are kind of the questions that they're going to be asking, you know, of our teachers, of our administrators, you know, of our parents, of our kids, those kinds of things. And so those are the kinds of things that will go into that plan.
Okay. Well, I know it not only does it sound important, but I think it's just one of those things, like when you see, you know, architecture firm, it's not the sexiest thing that a school district could be working with, but it does sound like, you know, it is going to have a huge impact on the future of the school district.
Yeah, I would agree. You're right. It's not, you know, it's not something that necessarily jumps off of a page, I would say. But, you know, when you think about, I mean, it's not just facilities that we're looking at. I mean, obviously that's, you know, we're looking at that. But when you start talking about the ways that kids learn most effectively, you know, environment's a huge piece of that, right? And it's not just your traditional classroom. So, you know, what's the best experience we can provide our kids? That obviously happens in a school, in a classroom, those kinds of things. But you also have to look at your outdoor facilities. So, you know, are our stadiums, or, you know, can we do better with those? Can we do better with some of our outdoor learning spaces? All those kinds of things kind of fit together in this whole puzzle. And so I really feel like, you know, if we can all come together and really kind of look at some where we really want to go and kind of get all those arrows aligned, we're really going to make a great plan.
This is kind of I don't want to say that maybe there's a definitive answer for this question, but you know, when you hire a firm from Kansas City, the firm is, you know, kind of, since they are based in Kansas City, they're around all these huge school districts, you know, tens of millions of dollars just poured into these places every year. Do you kind of see them maybe bringing, like, you know, kind of big school ideas to Maryville?
No, and that's a good question. One of the things that really, with IDS, that we really liked about them in particular, they do work with these big schools, but with they're really kind of a niche. Their bread and butter is education. Their sole focus is working with school districts, in particular public school districts. And so they've worked on those big districts, but they also work with small rural school districts. And so they kind of they have a very nice understanding of what it really means, you know, culture-wise, values-wise, to go into a rural community in Northwest Missouri, and what quality education looks like in rural Missouri. And so we really feel like this is going to be a really good relationship.
Well, good. I guess I kind of mentioned that because, you know, there's going to be people who are like, well, I don't need a big city firm telling us our school district needs a $5 million piano played by Elton John or an 80,000 seat stadium. But no, that's good to hear that, you know, not only do they have, you know, because there is that difference between rural and suburban schools.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's, you know, Maryville has to make do with what they get. And, you know, something like the Kansas City schools, it's like, well, we have to make do with all this that we get.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think there certainly is a fine line there. And we've talked about this as a staff, and I do believe this. We have championship kids, and they deserve championship facilities. And what we want to do, everything we can within our means, and being responsible stewards of our money and to our taxpayers, but we want to provide the best education possible for our kids.
And, you know, building off, you know, providing the best education, I think one of the things I noticed coming up that really stuck out to me is the eighth grade job shadow. Is this a program that the school does every year, or is this something new?
No, what a cool program. So obviously I'm new here, and so
yeah,
it's new to me, but I would say 10 plus years this has been going on.
Okay.
And wow, Jeremy, what a, I mean, for lack of a better term, what a cool program. Our eighth graders get to kind of do this job shadow, and but this actually, the foundation kind of gets laid in the fifth grade. And so really, I'll kind of walk you through. It's really kind of a neat process. So it's kind of led by our counselors. So Mrs. Webster and Mr. Falky really have an instrumental role in doing this. So in fifth grade, students start with kind of a career exploration. And so they do a little bit with, you know, what their interests are. They do some interest inventories and things like that. Just more of kind of a general, you know, what are some things they really kind of like to do and those kinds of things. And then sixth and seventh grade, they kind of hone in a little bit more. They kind of get more of a career pathway. And by the time seventh grade hits, they get those pathways, those career pathways, and maybe even focus down a little bit more of a job. So what are some careers you might really be interested in, you know, at that age? Which I kind of reflect back on my own school experience when I was in middle school, and it would have been really helpful to have, you know, thinking about that when I was 13, 14 years old. But anyway, they get to do all that, and they kind of narrow down maybe a couple of potential jobs or career fields they're interested in. So by the eighth grade, the idea is they get to go out and they get to have a job shadow experience. It's a 4 hour job, 4.5 hour job shadow experience that they get to do with a local business here in town. Some of them do, you know, if we're not able to accommodate here in Maryville, some of them go to St. Joe, things like that. But a vast majority of them go into Maryville. And before I keep going, I want to say this: a huge thank you to our local business community in Maryville. This would not be possible at all without the absolute support of our local businesses. And I'm kind of looking down my spreadsheet, my list right now, and you've got some of your larger employers here in town. Obviously, they're very supportive of us and always are. But I mean, you've got some of our smaller businesses too that are just more than happy to take in our students. And I'm looking at through the lens of maybe a small employer, it might be a little bit nerve-wracking taking on a 14-year-old student for a day or two. But
I know I would be nervous if someone was like, I want to do news. Yeah, I was like, all right, I'll try to be on my best behavior and not, you know, discourage them too much.
But they get to go out. And so by the time it's all said and done, like this year, we're going to run 140 kids through a job shadow experience in the eighth grade. Wow. And by the time they go out and do this, which is really neat. And so I had a chance to visit with Ms. Webster a lot yesterday. So when these kids go out, they really work on kind of the full gamut. So they don't just load them up on a bus and drop them off at Mosaic and say good luck. They really go through. And so like our teachers really work on those soft skills with our students. And so what does an effective handshake look like? So they'll practice the handshake. They'll practice, you know, they'll go through what effective, you know, attire is. You know, what do you wear to your job shadow? If you're job shadowing at a veterinary clinic versus if you're job shadowing maybe at, you know, a farm or those kinds of things, how those kinds of things might differ. And then, you know, things that we probably take for granted now, like picking up the phone and making a phone call to an employer.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about through the eyes of a 13-year-old student right now, that their main role of communication is probably texting, picking up that phone is probably pretty nerve-wracking. And so just practicing those kinds of skills can be so valuable, and being able to do that at 13 years old, 14 years old is just, I would say, kudos to our staff for being able to go through all that.
So you mentioned how if, you know, the business isn't up here, they're, you know, taken down to St. Joseph. Is there... Because my first thought was, what if the kid wants to be like an astronaut? I don't know if that's like something even feasible in the mind of an eighth grader, but, you know, is there ever jobs where, you know, you kind of have to make do and maybe put them in something that's closely related, or?
I will tell you what we've done the last, I mean, we obviously with COVID, we weren't able to do some of these things, but what we've been able to do, you know, in recent memory, we've been able to make accommodations to get these kids experience. So we've had to get creative sometimes. There might be a time where there's that really kind of niche job, to your point, that, you know, parents might have to run them down to St. Joe, something like that. But I will tell you, I've been watching between Ms. Webster and Mr. Falky, they run their tails off to, you know, Mr. Pitts and Ms. Lydon also to get them bused and, you know, driven to and from all over these places. They will find an opportunity for those kids to get into their particular field of interest. And I wouldn't say you'd be surprised. Maryville has so many opportunities in such a vast array of fields and so many different employers that are willing to have young people in. It's a successful program because it's kind of all hands on deck. We just have a lot of people that really want to help.
I it sounds interesting to me for the simple fact that, you know, you can have a student who goes through it and goes, okay, now I have a better understanding of this job and I now know what I need to do going forward, whether it be in high school or college or maybe even thinking technical school or, you know, any variety of things. And then I think about, you know, how it's good for the students who are like, oh, well, that wasn't what I thought it was. Now I don't have to, now I can maybe take my aspirations to something else. Because, you know, when you mentioned yourself about, you know, thinking about what you want to do in middle school, I was like, huh, what did I want to do in middle school? And I think, oh, I think I wanted to be like a history teacher or something. Well, that didn't happen, but I'm sure if there was a program like this, maybe things would have changed. Maybe I'd still be here. I don't know. So, you know, it's a very interesting program, and I'm curious, how many schools do stuff like this? I've just never heard of anything like this.
You know, great question. I don't know. Just kind of where I've been before, I've never done anything like this. And so there might be others that do it. I've been very impressed watching our middle school be able to do this. Just the experience our kids get is phenomenal. Just from a superintendent's point of view, it's really neat to see the staff buy in on this as well. You've got a lot of adults really working hard to make this thing happen and to make it a really good experience for our kids. Not just the actual job shadow experience, but all the steps leading up to it. So teaching those soft skills, really working with students to get their interests and all those kinds of things, that takes a lot of work. And we've got a middle school staff that's really bought into it for sure.
So there was something on the, not to go back to the Board of Education meeting, but I am. There was something on there about the school board candidates going forward. And that's a state-level decision, if I remember correctly. What is the change for school board candidates? Because I know that it's something, you know, important to put out there because so many people in the community, you know, the school board is the community.
Absolutely, yeah. We actually advertised that at our September meeting just to kind of get out advance notice on it. Don't hold my feet to the fire on this, but I believe our candidate filing is December 2nd through December 28th, and you can stop into our district office, which is the green building right in front of the high school, if you're interested to sign up and run for our Board of Education. And gosh, we actually talked about this with our Northwest students. Some of our board members identified, you know, some of the things they really enjoy about being a school board member. And obviously it's a civic duty. But there's also, you know, being able to sit on a position like that to really have a very positive impact on kids. It's a very rewarding experience. It doesn't pay a whole lot.
But no, I can't imagine, but it
zero, it's kind of like a rewarding experience nonetheless.
I was going to say school board's kind of in the same realm as, you know, city council. You know, the whole basis for those jobs is public servant.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, you get to, when you sit in that chair and you work with some of our, you know, administrators and things like that, you kind of get to see, you know, the inner workings of a school district and policy and budget and those kinds of things. But wow, what an incredibly important role to make a public school district run. And I'm obviously pretty biased, but I think Maryville are too. We've got a great school district that serves our kids very well. And one of the reasons we have such a great school district is because we have a solid school board. And I mean, I would point you right back to the first thing we talked about. You know, creating a long-range facility plan and being able to have kind of that vision toward the future, those kinds of things don't happen without a very supportive and very visionary school board. And moving forward, we certainly always want to have people on our serve on our school board that have that future focus in mind.
And, you know, moving forward, this upcoming Friday is homecoming, and this will be your first homecoming as superintendent. What is there anything on your end? Because I know homecoming is, it seems always like it's more the students prepping for homecoming more than anything. Is there anything on your end that you do for homecoming?
Actually, on this one, no. I get to kind of just enjoy it, and I'm very excited. It's I'm a recovering high school principal, and so my two favorite dates of the entire year are homecoming and graduation, and those are two very special events to me, and I think they always will be. But I love homecoming for many reasons, but it's fun to be in Maryville for so many reasons, but the school spirit and the community support is just off the charts, and what better way to celebrate in homecoming? I think this year is going to be really neat in particular. Had a chance to visit with some of the teachers and admin at the high school earlier this week. They're going to do some different things this year for homecoming. And so they're going to, I don't want to get the specifics wrong, but they're going to all go out as a school on before the homecoming game. And go out and do some class challenges and things like that at the stadium. It sounds like a lot of fun. Putting myself in the shoes of a high school student, it'd be a lot of fun to be a Maryville high school student right now.
Thinking back to my own high school years and homecoming week, do kids still do pranks?
Oh, how do I answer that one without encouraging?
Yeah, I know. Well, I think back to, I don't remember what group it was, but they had it set up where, yes, we go out and we like TP, but we also like go the next day and clean up.
Yeah, I remember those a little bit too. I don't think, especially today, that those have probably died down a little bit.
Okay, because I don't notice a lot of TP, you know. And here's the awful truth about TPing. It's not fun.
It's even less fun to clean up.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, you're just throwing toilet paper around.
True.
It's not fun. I don't know. That's the truth about it, kids. It's just not fun. But, you know, this goes into the next and final segment of Spoofhound Spotlight, which is to better know a superintendent. And, you know, as a former high school principal, I think this is maybe a two-pronged question. But, you know, you can answer from when you were a student and as well as your time in, you know, high school. As a leader, but you know, what's your favorite memory? I wasn't going to put you on the spot and like ask you something lewd or anything, but no, what's your favorite memory? Whether it, you know, from both aspects, as a student, as a leader in the school district.
Okay, really good question. So, my favorite memory would actually be in 1996 when I was in high school, was winning a state championship. And this is kind of a fun Maryville story, actually. I was, 2 weeks ago maybe, I was walking my son around, and it was after school had gotten out. I think it was probably 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. We happened to be up at the high school, and when you walk into the gym area, there's a trophy case, and right in that trophy case has all the state championship trophies and that Maryville, you know, has earned, and there's 12 of them in there. And my son's in fifth grade. He made the comment. He said, "Dad, I've never been to a school that has this many state championship trophies." And I got to talk to him about it, and actually got to talk to him about the time I was a part of a state championship team. And I said, "Son, I hope one day you're able to, you know, whatever sport or activity it is, I hope you're able to compete and do something like that because it's pretty special." So I would say, as a student, probably that's my favorite memory. I will certainly remember that one. Gosh, as a principal, There's several of them.
Did you guys ever do, because I think we had a fundraiser or something for homecoming 1 year, and if we as the student body raised a certain amount, and I don't remember what it was for, the amount, I just remember the inevitable payoff, which was, you know, we hit the mark of raising this much money, and so, and it could have been a canned food drive for all I know. My memory is just getting worse as I age. But the payoff was that the pr- principal, or not the, yeah, the high school principal had to dye his hair blue because our school colors were blue and something else. But we hit it, and, you know, Mr. Kruger had to have blue hair for the rest of the year.
That's great. You know, I've never had to go the hair dyeing route, but
I don't mean to sow any seeds of chaos in your school district, and everyone's like, so what do we do with the superintendent this year?
I would delegate that to the high school principals probably. Oh, Mr. Alvarez didn't listen right now, but
green and gold hair the rest of the year.
No, I would. I have kissed several pigs in my life as a result of those kinds of things, but I've never had to dye my hair. I would say, and this is probably, you know, this isn't one specific memory, but this is just probably my favorite, is what would be my most fulfilling memories. I love building relationships with students, particularly as a high school principal. And I can think back very specifically to remembering, when I say, I'll reference back, I said graduation is one of my favorite days, and it is. And watching some of those kids walk across the stage and get their diploma, when I saw those kids at 13, 14 years old that, you know, and everybody has struggles in life, and sometimes kids come to your high school and they've been through things that you've never been through in your entire life as an adult. And to watch those kids in, you know, in 4 years be able to accomplish so much and be able to overcome so much, and then go through and actually graduate high school, probably the most fulfilling moments of an educator was being able to watch those things.
Okay. Well, the only other question I have for our better known superintendent is, I'll go ahead and give, I'm sure you've already met Matt Trent. I know you have. You talked with him at halftime during the, to Chillicothe game, I think.
It was Chillicothe. No, yeah, it was Harrisonville.
Harrisonville. And he's always pitching terrible questions for me to ask you during this part. even before we went on, he said, you should ask him if he thinks a hot dog is a sandwich and why. And, yeah, I know. It's just one of those annoying questions that just a kid will ask. Anyway, I did think of a better question, though. Let's say, and I won't name any business specifically in town, but let's say one of the businesses in town that sells sandwiches, they're like, you know, Dr. Lightfoot is a pillar of the community. He deserves his own sandwich, and we're going to name it after him, and he's going to pick what goes on it. So if you had a sandwich named after you, and it can be the Dr. Lightfoot or any kind of other, you know, the filling light, or the, you know, I don't know, some crazy name you can think of if you want. But the key to this is what would go on a sandwich named after you.
Okay. I actually have a name for this sandwich.
Oh.
Back when I was young, I didn't get the job shadowing experience that Maryville middle school kids get, I wanted to open up a sandwich shop.
Yeah.
And my first name is Logan. And I wanted to name my sandwich shop Logie's Hoagies. So I would name my sandwich Logie's Hoagie.
Now I'm curious.
On the sandwich, though.
Okay.
I'm a simple guy, but I love it. I love me some toasted sandwich. So I would go toasted hoagie bun, and I'm going to go turkey, ham, Swiss cheese. And then for my dressings, very simple on this. Salt, pepper, shredded lettuce. That's it.
No mustard, no mayonnaise.
Optional. Okay. I wouldn't take it personally, but optional. Okay. So that's where I go. That's going to be the Logie Hoagie.
And Matt, if you're listening, that's a question. But now I'm curious. Do you think a hot dog is a sandwich?
Oh, man. A hot dog's a hot dog.
Yeah.
Hot dog's Americana. You can't group it with a sandwich.
It's like asking if pizza is another version of a meat pie. It's just a pizza.
Let's keep a hot dog a hot dog. That's my answer on that one.
That's it, and it's also I always tell people it's the most American food ever. When you look at other American foods, you can trace it back to Italy or Germany, but hot dog is a hot dog.
Hot dog's a hot dog. I completely agree.
All right, well, let's go ahead and end the show on an agreement.
I love it.
All right.
Hey, real quick, before we go, I want to give a quick shout out. We are our Spectrum Singers. We competed last weekend for all district. We had 18 students try out for all district choir, and Jeremy, 14 of our students ended up as all district. So what an incredible feat. And even more incredible, of the 18 that tried out, only two had previous experience with all district tryouts. So pretty cool things going on for Maryville Performing Arts, that's for sure.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, good job on them, and good luck with homecoming this week.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time.
Support for Spoofhound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years, thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, KawasakiMaryville.com. Also from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. Golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at MazingoLake.com.